The home team.
And here we go.
All right, back for hour number two. It is the home team. With you till 7, and then about 2 hours after that, we'll have Georgia basketball with a late tip in Tuscaloosa as they take on the Tide from Alabama. We've become foes and with them in football recently. Big rivals now. In fact, it's gotten to the point where I believe I hate them more than any team Georgia plays.
Well, they're my – well –
I know who your number one is.
Number one's always going to be number one.
But they're not even a threat.
The others fluctuate. They used to not even be on the radar. But, I mean, let's face it, Bama, the three games in the 2010s when all the chips have been down and we've had double-digit leads and they have performed open-heart surgery without the use of anesthesia. And, of course, the officials really helped them along in the big game and they got a break or two in the last one. It's just – we just got to get over that hump and go get that whole thing. And I promise you, Kirby Smart and that staff, every player in there, they are driving and working for it.
Well, they shouldn't lack confidence.
No.
I mean, the outcomes have been devastating. But the big takeaway for me is that, yeah, we're right there with them.
Absolutely.
We're right there with them. I bring this up before we get to the 5-5 only because we carried this game last night. But the last two games for NC State in basketball – are fascinating.
Well, let's first off, they give up 47 points and lose by 23.
They score 24.
That's right. So
right?
They gave up 47 points and got beat by 23. Lowest point total by a team in the shot clock era. Fast forward to last night.
They scored 96 points,
mm-hmm.
which is 72 points more than they had scored the previous game, but they still lost by 17.
Okay, so they lost by a combined 40 while scoring 96 and giving up 47. That, my friend, is disjointed. That's the opposite. Like in football or basketball, baseball. So let's use baseball for an example. Hey, you got to be able to win 2-1 games. You got to be able to win 8-7 games. In football, you got to be able to win 31-28. You got to be able to win 10-7. NC State this last week, they've been the opposite of that.
Yes, they have. In one game, they scored 24, and in the next game, they allowed 113. So, I mean, it's opposite. They're horrible on offense one day and then terrible on defense the next. The next up for them, they're at Pitt, if you want to continue to follow what NC State is up to the last couple of games.
I think everybody's reaction was the same, though, when we saw that score go across the ticker last Saturday. Like, wait, no, that's got to be a halftime score. Wait, what? Wait, that's a final?
My reaction was I thought there was something wrong with my game tracker.
Yeah.
Because there was there was another game recently, too, on this one game tracker where it was like there were 19 minutes to play in the first half. So, in other words, allegedly 1 minute had gone by and the score was like 35-2.
Wow, they are hitting shots.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I think there's something wrong with that. And that's what I thought the other day, too, and it was like 47-24 and it said final. Like, yeah, that can't be right. Unless it was a football game. And it wasn't. It was accurate, and it was a basketball game.
And by the way, we are now officially, because it looks like the haze in the barn, if we are taking the route of the Titanic and we're going from Liverpool to New York City, we are one stroke into the North Sea, making our way through the Atlantic when you're talking about the end of one football season into the other. Because we've had the Super Bowl and now – the original signing day, and it's a long time until that last Saturday in August.
Well, we do know when G-Day is. We don't technically know when practice actually starts. A good assumption is after spring break, though.
Yeah.
I think that's how it happened last year, because we used to practice, and then spring break would come. I think now we wait till after spring break. Does that sound right?
Yeah, because is G-Day the 22nd? Is that right?
It's the week after the Masters.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. I guess we'll start right around early April, late March.
But August 31st, that's kickoff. Dogs going to Nashville to take on the Commies.
I would say it'll be here before you know it, but that's not true.
It isn't.
There's a lot of time.
We got spring and summer to get through.
and the rest of winter. Although it feels like spring,
it feels
today.
Very nice outside. Tomorrow it's going to be like 80. Apparently,
it's going to be nuts. By the way, I had a great time at the Blind Pig today, Chris. Great job by you as always.
Yeah, always fun to be out there, and I assume we'll be back there in December for early signing day.
Well, we just gotta load up on the blue chips again. Then hopefully we'll win two more games after that, go 15-0, and be the national champions of 2019.
Well, that's the thing for December. For early signing day, will we be gearing up for either the Fiesta or Peach Bowls?
Hopefully the Peach. The plan is winning Atlanta, New Orleans.
I miss. Right?
Hopefully we're going to go. I win.
Yeah. All right. The 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Well, let's fill in some blanks here on the depth chart puzzle then with this year's class done now at this point. 24 new names. How do we see things shaking out? There's nothing really changed on the offensive line, right?
No, I mean, I think Webb will, you know, have a – he'll probably, because he's in early, he'll probably work his way into the second group. I would think Warren McClendon will have a chance to do that. Truss will probably red shirt.
Okay. Quarterback.
You know,
going to go with Fromm.
Going to be the backup.
All right. Going to stick with Fromm there.
And who knows? Maybe that's the other thing, though. Like you said, now I like playing somebody good every week. It would be nice just, you know, thinking selfishly about, like, Dwan Mathis or something. If we did have that game, like, in between Auburn and Tech, as you made the point with UMass this past year, where you could kind of dangle for some guys.
Sure. And there were one of our – who was it? I think Otis Reese started the UMass game last year.
Right,
but we don't have one of those in November.
No, we do
not. Well, we do. We have Tech.
Now you're talking. Yeah, they had a good class today.
It was pretty good. They got a good player from Alabama that Mississippi State and North Carolina wanted.
They got a good quarterback.
So I think that's Brent Key paying off early. They got a state champion quarterback, and they got a running back from was it Dalton maybe?
Yeah, they got an in-state running back too. We got to beat Tech.
Well, that's a game. I mean, we might start Mathis or Bennett in that game. Because what we have, Murray State, Arkansas State, and then Tech are the only three cupcakes.
I can't say that. I hope they really stink for a while.
Because Notre Dame, I wouldn't call them a cupcake.
No,
they
sir.
Were in the playoff last year.
That they were.
But they got smoked by Clemson, and I'm expecting a similar result here in Athens this fall.
Oh, look at Tech's class, by the way. Did they get that running back from Maryland? The one that, remember when I told you that story, Robbie Kirk was watching, there was like a high school bowl game, and they played, I think, Lee County, this team from Maryland, and there was this awesome running back, but he had been committed to Temple.
Let's see. They got to, it was from Rome, Jamias Griffin.
Okay.
Let me see, another running back from where I'm looking, Maryland?
Yes.
They did get a weak side defensive end out of Belgium.
Okay, I did see that, yeah.
So,
and nobody from Maryland on there?
Let's see, Bama, Florida, Montgomery, Tennessee, Florida, PA, New Jersey. No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'd forgotten about that my beautiful wife's listening in, and she just reminded me of that. She said, did Tech get that running
back? Emily, don't do that to Jeff. Leave that to me.
That's Brain's full-time job.
Yeah, that's my territory.
Whew.
It's making Sigh Jeff relief. Panic about Tech.
She's all right. Now we can have a nice dinner tonight. That's right.
Yeah, I'm not seeing them. And it should make you feel better that they signed a defensive end from Belgium. I mean, come on. They're spending recruiting money going to Belgium. There's not a defensive end anywhere in this state they could have gotten that'd be better than a guy from Belgium.
I'm with you.
Right?
Hey, I'm with you. Listen, when I think about Tech, I think of when Ty Webb has his ball in Carl Spangler's abode in Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Spangler says, Schmelz! Tell you what you do with Schmelz. And he pulls out the knife. You cut the hamstring, push everything to the right. Then you know what he says? He'll quit the game.
Right.
So I want Tech just so obliterated, hopefully 9 straight wins with a couple of natties in between for us, that they just – they quit the sport. They give it up.
Well, I mean, you could say – we did that to Paul Johnson this year. He quit.
He'll quit the game.
Yeah, we beat him into submission. Now, the program is still in existence. This guy from Belgium, though, he was the top prospect in that state, though, according to 24/7 Sports. So they did sign the number one player out of Belgium today.
They can be very proud of that.
They've got that going for them. But I'm not seeing anybody from Maryland.
All right. So I need to text.
So enjoy your evening.
Where did that back go?
Maybe he ended up still going to Temple.
He might have.
If I gave you 100 guesses, could we name Temple's head coach? It was Manny Diaz.
It was Steve Adazio, right?
It was Al Golden.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians was their coach once.
That's a good – I mean, they used to – remember, they got kicked out of
– the MAC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've become good, competitive.
In fact, if you Google Temple, the first thing you get is Fran Dunphy because it's a basketball school.
Right.
Who did they hire to replace Jeff Collins? Ed Foley.
Ed Foley. Wasn't that guy an infielder for the Pirates? No, that was Tim Foley. Ott was a catcher.
Oh, Rod Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Foley was that interim coach that had that big speech before the – what were they, in the Independence Bowl or something?
I think so.
So Rod Carey is who they got from.
You know what my favorite bowl was? The day after Christmas, Detroit, Michigan.
That was a good bowl game. That was an easy cover for Minnesota.
Yes, it was.
All right, moving on in the 5 at 5. What is the biggest thing that we should be taking from this this class, the top takeaway, besides just how awesome it was?
No, it's a terrific class. I think we had to we had to get good defensive linemen. We got a great defensive lineman in Trayvon Walker. We got Nolan Smith. We got N'Kobe Dean. Chris, you hit on this with Stevenson and Seen. We got great players, great prospects at all three levels on the defense. We got reinforcements on the offensive front. Stetson Bennett, great insurance policy. Picked up another tight end, so we got two tight ends. And I think also – now with Pickens added to Blaylock and Tongue, signed an outstanding wide receiver class. And I feel like with that receiver class now we're going to put ourselves in a spot where, all right, we really only need to sign one guy next year. So I'm just – if you're going every year and signing like three receivers, you're not doing a good – and like three this year was great. But if you've got to go do that every year for about 4 or 5 years – and you've got like 12 receivers on Scott. That's not good.
No, I mean, then you're sacrificing areas like lines of scrimmage.
And we just went too many years where we had more receivers or quote-unquote athletes than we had offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So I think with that, and especially we'll sign at least 5 defensive linemen next year, but with this crop you really only need one receiver next year unless there are just a couple of – superstars that want to come that way. So with the attrition that Georgia had there, obviously with Godwin being a senior and with both Hardman leaving and Riley Ridley leaving, you know, for Georgia to get all three of those guys was huge. And I think it gets us now, you know, how much of an impact they have as true freshmen, that remains to be seen. But you certainly feel moving forward, look at the 2020-2021, that we're in really good shape at receiver.
And you got a top 20 player in Nolan Smith, who's number one at his position. N'Kobe Dean, number two linebacker.
Yeah, I mean,
Seen and Stevenson are both in the top three of their position group. So,
and that's that defense, all three levels.
Right. And you got studs at on the line, linebacker, and in the secondary.
And what we really for this class, and hopefully all those guys hit, and I think they all have a chance to. We're going to need for at least a couple of those other defensive linemen to play early. And I'm talking about by 2020, by year two. And it would be great. Now, it might take a couple of years if one of those, like say Zion Logue, developed into an outstanding player as well.
Well, and George also signed the top O-lineman in the country and Clay Webb and then two top five receivers in Pickens and Blaylock. I guess Hazelwood ended up
he was probably number one.
Brew McCoy was up there too, but – who ended up at Texas.
And let's not forget Jermaine Johnson, that outside linebacker, DJ Daniel at corner, you know, Tremel Waltower on the defensive front, and Stetson Bennett at quarterback. So that's four junior college players. Hopefully Stetson Bennett's only playing in mop-up duty this coming year. But I think
see some Murray State action.
Yes. But I think for Daniel, for Johnson, those two guys, because they're both juniors, I think they bring some balance to the classes because we're going to have so many freshmen and sophomores at linebacker and in the secondary. And Johnson will play that outside linebacker, you know, whatever you want to call it, the edge, whatever. You know, and Waltower then, you know, that's a guy who's been committed since his junior year, finally here, just added some much-needed depth and a little bit of experience on the defensive front.
Talking about recruiting just historically, who's like the all-time biggest recruit that you thought was surefire, wasn't going to miss, had to get him, that ended up being the, you know, not panning out? I think I know the answer to this.
Talking about that came here?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
we
yeah.
got?
Yeah. Like an all-time flop.
I mean, there were guys like we got a defensive lineman named George Brewer, who was a five-star, big-time get. He only played 1 year, and then he flunked out. You know, like Jasper Sanks and Patrick Pass weren't terrible.
Well, I always go back to remembering the moment that Brandon Williams signed here. Not Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller. He'd be on there, but I'd tell you the one because he was the answer to the question I ask you every year. You know, about the, who's the one guy that's a must-get for the next
like Crowell?
Season. Crowell, I think, has to be it.
I mean, and the crazy thing, too, then we get Gurley coming in on top of it.
Yeah.
Who, you know, in my opinion, is the best back we've had since Herschel.
Right. I mean, and then we ended up getting Chubb, Michelle, and unfortunately Keith Marshall was just wrecked by injuries, mm-hmm. but he would have been – and he was good when he wasn't hurt.
No, Crowell would certainly be at the top of the list. Brandon Miller. You know, Jasper Sanks had a couple of good years, but also, you know, a couple of them were bad calls. You got those fumbles. And
well, getting the ball against Auburn with no timeouts, but that's not his fault.
No, and the – you know, and obviously that wasn't a fumble against Tech, but he still was kind of in the midst of some infamous Georgia moments there. But, again, like you said, it wasn't his fault there. We signed in 1982 – we signed a quarterback named Jamie Harris, who was the number one prospect in the country, who never played a down. I wound up transferring to Wake Forest. So that was kind of a good early on bust. I mean, listen, D'Angelo Gibbs is going to be one.
We got J.R. Reed out of that deal, though.
We did. But, you know, listen, for some guys, there are different reasons. It just doesn't work out. But when you're talking about guys that, like, yeah, this guy is going to be a dude, I think Crowell's at the top of the list. I mean, Brandon Miller was just one of those guys. And I think that the coaching staff at the time has to wear some of this. They just couldn't find him a position.
No, and that's a problem for him, Richard Samuel.
There were three
Brandon
of them.
Smith.
That was the third one. Yeah, and that's why I remember Kirby's first year when he's like, why is everybody freaking out on Mecole Hardman? Like, well,
that's
Kirby,
why.
Like, these three guys.
Yeah. Because we've been there with these
right.
with these five stars with all the potential that never could get a role.
Right. And so then it's like, oh, okay. And then, of course, Mecole moves over, and he's a phenomenal player for us.
Yeah, it worked out. I guess it was smart that Georgia basically didn't even play him, though, as a freshman.
Yeah.
Like, he moved him over and let him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just get in there. That's a good call there. And the thing with Crowell, I mean, he was pretty good that first year, but just the off-field trouble, too. It got to a point. And I can remember when he got dismissed, so we didn't know how good Gurley was. I mean, Marshall was the higher-rated back. I remember Coach Dooley said, I'm telling you what, it's going to be the best thing that happened to this football team.
Well, he was right.
Yeah, but that's a good call.
I mean, still think we should have tried. We took too many shots downfield in that Citrus Bowl. Had to settle for that 71-yard field goal. But he was right about that Crowell not being a big loss. But at the time, remember, he had the little bulldog puppy for announcement.
I mean, it was – you know, I mean, another guy who was here for a couple of years left, like, who would have made a difference maybe in, I guess, 20, what, 14. Like, Josh Harvey Clemens was really good.
Yeah.
And then he wound up at Louisville.
At Louisville, yeah, with CTG.
That's just...
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, the Falcons have cut kicker Matt Bryant. Is this a bold move, Cotton?
It's a bad mistake.
A bad mistake.
It is. And I get now, he's not retiring. I mean, I get it. Oh, we can say the new guy's really good. And then the guy who did – what's the guy's name who stepped in for Bryant?
Giorgio Carvecchio.
Yeah, I'm assuming they kept him.
They did, so he'll be the kicker.
He's pretty good, but – and the Bears tried to save some cap money when they cut Robbie Gould. How'd that turn out for them?
Well, they missed a field goal. Oh, it was blocked. It was tipped.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Bryant missed one field goal last year.
Dino Sensen Gould something like 82 for 85 or something.
Yeah. It's just – it's the thing that is interesting to me about it is last March they signed him to a new 3-year deal. Now, he suddenly didn't age 10 years between last March. He was a year ago 42.
Right. Right,
and now they've decided, boy, we paid you a lot, and that's quite a bit of a cap hit. And Atlanta's got like the biggest deal with Atlanta now is they drafted Grady Jarrett in the fifth round, and he's about to get paid like he was drafted in the first round because that's absolutely the player he's turned into.
Yeah, that was a great pick.
But they've got to clear up dough for that.
And so they cut Robert Alford. Now, I mean, how bad – that was a horrible draft when they had Trufant and Alford. Their first two picks were on corners. Trufant is not elite. Now Alford's gone. That was just a wasted draft.
Two things about Alford. One is Pro Football Focus had him rated as one of the lowest rated corners in the league last year, and he played almost every snap. So that makes total sense to get rid of him. I think they're saving $8 million against the cap. The other thought I had about him, though, was the pick six that he had against Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is, until I said that, you probably had forgotten about it, right?
Yeah, well, I was still calling the Lady Dogs in Tennessee at that point.
That's right. The tradition of the Lady Dogs go to overtime on the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Had the Falcons won that game?
Oh, it's one of the biggest.
Is that
plays.
The biggest play in Atlanta sports history?
What was the score when he made the pick?
It was scoreless. That was the first score of the game. I think it was scoreless. I'm pretty sure it was.
No, it would be the second biggest play in Falcons history since Gary Anderson's missed field goal. In the 98
all right.
NFC championship.
Well, the play the Falcons made.
The play the Falcons made? Yeah, it would have to be.
And now it's just – it's like an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, like Julio Jones' catch. Hang on a second. DJ just – Falcons just released defensive end Brooks Reed as well.
Well, yeah, I knew that was coming.
So they're just –
because that's another one. He was – that's like a $5 million cap savings right there.
Yeah, if you're the NFL, if you're getting paid and not really producing – see ya.
Yeah. And Bryant's the one that, understandably, fans are going to take hard. I mean, he missed three games last year. He got hurt kicking a 57-yard field goal. So he'll be 44 next season. But he could still kick. He missed one kick last year. Over the last three seasons, I think he's only missed one kick from 40 to 49-yard that range. To be that automatic, he's been terrific. But I see the Falcons' point of view, except that they just signed him to a 3-year deal last year, and it's not like he was 30 and suddenly turned 43.
Now, it's watching the Falcons my whole life, not really being a fan, but following them. In my opinion, Matt Bryant, when I was coming up, they had all the good offensive linemen. I think about like Mike Ken, Jeff Van Note, William Andrews is a great running back. Matt Bryant, to me, is if not one of the top fives, one of the 10 greatest Falcons, at least in my lifetime, if not all time, and might be a top five ever.
10 years with the team.
How many games did that guy win?
Pretty darn near automatic.
The Matt and Matt deal, how many times have you heard me say it? You got to trust your quarterback and you got to trust your kicker.
I thought his career was over, though, when he made that kick and he was hurt.
No doubt.
And you know,
boy, it was a heck of a way to go out.
It was. And maybe that's Atlanta's thought, is they did sign him last year to a lot of money, but then once they saw him get hurt doing that and you add up what his age is, then they're rolling the dice, though.
I'm just telling you, if they get into a key game, like to get in the playoffs or in the playoffs, if the new guy misses and Matt Bryant's kicking well somewhere.
And he might end up back in Tampa.
He could.
So Chicago would be wise to maybe give them a look, though, too.
Yeah, there's no way they could bring Cody Parkey back. There's no way they could bring Cody bleep you Parkey back.
Yeah.
Bleep you.
All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.